Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of How to Make a Podcast in South Africa. I'm John Vanka.
And I'm Diego Domingo.
And today we are talking about equipment. We're starting our series for kind of beginners and people who have not yet made a podcast. And, you know, the most common questions that people always ask is, what mic should I use? How do I get good sound? So we want to cover that off. It's actually not as important as what's your idea, what's your content, how do you interview people, that kind of thing. But it is something that is important. It's become table stakes for people to have good sound. And when we get to the South African Podcast Awards, it will be, there'll be kind of like an easy razor cut to cut out shows that just don't sound good, because people don't want to listen to shows that don't sound good. The table stakes now is pretty good sound. But we're also very aware that a lot of our members don't have access to mics like we're using today. They might be using a single lav, or they might be using their phone to record something, or even recording it on their laptop. So we want to give you some solutions for how to do that effectively, how to get good sound even without the perfect equipment. But we are also going to show off some mid-range and high-range equipment as well for those who can make the investment, or who can get their hands on good equipment, or even rent a studio and then, you know, get in front of like a really good mic. So I think we have a bit of a sponsor today, don't we?
Yes, we do. So we just want to say thank you to Turk Music for sponsoring the mics that we're using today. And we're doing this one very differently, John. We're not recording with our fancy equipment, with our fancy cameras and fancy mics and stuff. And we want to do this, so you'll see the visuals are very different from what we normally put out.
Right.
But it's because we want to show the basics of what you can get started with, and how you can actually start doing a podcast. And so we're filming this one with just a single iPhone, single camera that's on one of those ring lights that you buy. So cheap little mount, cheap little stand that you can get for like under $1,000. And then the mics that we're using today, we're going to use a few, but these ones that are sponsored, the first one that I'm using is the Presonus PD70. It is a dynamic mic that you guys can use, and we're going to have these available for our members as well, and we'll talk pricing and we'll send through details at a later stage. But we just want to showcase these mics a little. And then John is using a SE Audio, which is the Dynacaster DCM6 microphone.
DCM6, right?
Yeah, so DCM6.
Just to demonstrate the power of a dynamic microphone, I'm going to turn it as I talk, and we're going to talk about the Dynacaster DCM6, right? Because that's one of the key features of a dynamic mic, is its ability to reject sound from the cardioid pattern.
Yes. So the cardioid pattern, essentially, with these kind of mics are front and center. So if you look on the box, or if you look on any patterns, you'll see it goes like from the front around the mic and then nothing at the back. So what I like about, or you'll see that these mics are very different in the way they handle that pattern. So the one I'm using, for example, has great sound quality for like if you're speaking up close, but as soon as I start putting the mic back, you'll probably hear that it's very much softer and it rejects noise a lot better. The Dynacaster one has a little button at the back, which is a little preamp button. So it's similar to the Cloud Lifter stuff that you can use for the SM7Bs. And that gives you additional gain. So you can actually pull that mic a little bit further back and you'll still be able to pick up decent sound quality.
Sure. We don't have the Dynamite on right now, but I mean, this is me right up on the mic. This is your standard kind of fist and a half distance. And then if I pull it back, you're going to start losing volume and gain as I pull it back. Now, without stopping the recording and doing all kinds of nonsense, we can't turn the Dynamite on to show you. But it's a massive advantage because a lot of mics require a lot of gain, and then, you know, you buy the equipment, you buy the module, you buy the recording box like a Scarlett, you get the mic, and then you start recording, and then it turns out that you have to be up here, or you have to turn the gain up in post-production to make it sound good, which is a problem.
And that's the thing with this mic that I'm using, the Presonus, is that to get good quality sound, what I find, because we used this mic live at our Joburg podcast event, and also that was also sponsored by Turk Music, is that with these ones, I find you have to be up close to get like a really decent sound. And I think for a starter podcaster, this is absolutely great, because if you are starting your podcast, you're not going to be in a studio. You're not going to be in a completely soundproof environment. You're probably going to be sitting in your room with maybe a curtain or two, no sound panels. So a mic like this, where it's just you speaking and you up close, is perfect for you to start off with. We'll talk about one of the other mics, which is actually my personal mic and my personal favorite mic, which is Universal SD. One, that one has a better cardioid pattern and has got much more flexibility and usability. So you can actually pull that mic further away from you and still get that decent sound quality that you want. But again, that's you're talking about the higher end of the spectrum, Lee, whereas these mics are perfect for the entry-level guys. And we'll, like I said, we'll talk pricing later, but we've got great deals on this from Turk Music for our sponsorship. So we love these. We wanted to say also a big thank you and shout out for actually giving us these mics for this little recording.
I haven't heard them before. I'm very thankful to try out a new mic because I almost never do, and I can't wait to hear the audio that's now going into the system. We're not going to EQ these. We're not going to do anything to them. So what you're hearing is what we're putting in right now. There's like no filters on this.
Yep, 100%.
So, you know, another thing, you know, when we talk about starting from the bottom, right, we've got the phone, we've got the ring lights, which I think will take a lot. The desktop ones are like 200 Rand. They're very cheap. This one stands about 5 feet tall, so it might be a bit more. But we're also kind of recording in the control room here, which is a little bit kind of sound treated, but not. It's not a studio, right? Yeah. There's enough reverb in here that this is kind of similar to what you might find in a lounge or a bedroom, which is where most people are going to be starting. So this is kind of a realistic idea of what these mics can do in terms of reverb, rejection, and quality from different distances and all that. So you can get an idea. And we're also going to test out another couple of mics as well, just to give you an idea of those two.
Cool. Now you'll see we've switched mics. So I am now using my Universal Audio SD1, which is my favorite mic of all time. And John, you are using your?
This is the Rode Pod Mic, which is a very popular mic. Rode is obviously a very popular brand. It's not that cheap, but I would call it mid-range. Is the SD1, what range is that in?
No, the SD1 is going to be your higher end of the market range. So this mic, I think you can find them on special now for about 9,000 Rand, but traditionally they go for 12,000. I think yours is probably going to be about the 5,000-6,000 range.
I think four to six, but I don't know. Prices have been fluctuating, so I'm not really sure. And then the other option we have over here is the Shure SM58, which is my favorite mic. I feel like the Pod Mic has a little bit of a kind of a sibilance, or a chrill is the only way I can really say it with the Pod Mic, which is absent in the Shure. This is very popular amongst vocalists for bands because they're basically indestructible.
Yes.
I find the audio pretty good. And they're pretty affordable, and you can find them on Facebook Marketplace for about 1,500, 1,750, and even new, they're around 2 grand. So this would be entry level, except that it is an XLR mic, which means it's got this big cable. It doesn't plug directly into your laptop. It's got to go into a Scarlett or some kind of other interface before it gets to your laptop.
So the nice thing about that SM58 is it's a tank. You can drop them, you can throw them, you can do quite a number of things to them. And I've actually seen people, they take the capsule out of that. So they literally unscrew the top, like take the capsule out, take the wiring out, and they can make it sound like a 10,000 Rand mic because it's just so versatile and it's so robust. Mm. And they last forever.
Right.
But they also pick up everything. And they're very flat. There's a really good mic. Also nothing bad to start with, but they don't have windshields. They don't have, so you'll pick up a lot of wind noise and stuff.
Yeah, my dog ate my windshield, literally. So I do actually have one, or I had one. Now it's gone.
So there's a very good, very cheap to start off with. Mm. And I mean, I like this. I think they are great vocal mics from a band perspective, or from any live production or performance, and probably sure for podcasts as well.
Yeah, look, I mean, no one's ever told me that I sound horrible on the mic. So, but give it time. So in terms of what we have available, obviously there are hundreds of mics available. And we're talking, even with our low range, we're talking relatively high level, like 2,000 Rand for a mic to a starting podcaster is still a lot. So this is in the 2 grand, this is 4 to 6, that's 9 to 10. The PD70 and the DCM6 are more in the DCM6 is like 2, 3?
Yeah, but between like 2.5 to like, let's say 4,000 Rand, depending on the pricing and the special we get. So Turk Music, again, shout out to them, have said that we'll check stock availability because it all depends on the fluctuations. but we will also be offering a discount to our paying members,
right.
And that's part of the sponsorship that we have with them. So you'll definitely benefit. And I think we chatted the other day on, you might not start off with those kind of mics because they do come at a little bit of a price, but if you are starting to see your podcast traction and you want to grow and you want to do a little bit better with sound, then these are great options to start off with. If you want to go into like the proper studios like Spike has or like Gavin has or Paolo and those guys, then we're talking about like the mic that I'm using, because they very much on that professional quality. You can do a lot more with editing. You can do, they've got little filters at the back where you can switch the like a high pass filter on. You can do a little mid-range boost with them. All of these kind of things on the professional side, but again, you're going to need to edit. Like the mic I'm using is great for editing.
Right.
Like you can do so much with it in post-production. But again, we are not going to do any post-production on these mics. These, all of the mics,
we might boost the gain slightly, right? If only because they might be gain hungry mics. No.
No, she says no. Rebecca says no.
No. So you might have to change the volume a few times while listening to this episode.
So yeah. So essentially what we'll do is we'll keep these mics completely flat on the EQ. We won't do any post-production. So you're going to hear all the room noise. If there's any reverb, if there's any echo, we're going to do no noise reduction, no nothing, because we want you to hear the pure sound quality. What we'll do in a later episode, though, is we will actually go through editing techniques and how do you fix sound and how do you do that, but not for this episode. This one, say that you can hear all these mics and see which one you would prefer and which one fits into your budget.
Right. So I'm going to switch back to the SM58 because it's actually meant to be held, not the pod mic and the SD1 are meant to be on stands, right? So this is quite comfy to hold and it's much lighter. So, but let's scroll back a little bit then to talk about the stage before you even get here, right? So before you've got a mic like this, there's a few things we need to talk about. And it starts with the first mistake I made with podcasting, which is I brought a Rode NT-USB. At the time, it was 2,000 Rand, which is a great mic. It's also a condenser mic. So there's two basic kinds of mic, condenser and dynamic. And you explain the technical differences between them.
So condensers are great for vocals. I think Rebecca has one for her vocal stuff. And those are great in studio, but they pick up absolutely everything.
Right.
They, like, because they, a lot of your ribbon mics and stuff, so they'll pick up sound from the back, from the front. They'll pick up your little sibilances. They'll pick up
mouth noise. I make some little clicks and pops inside my mouth. I actually have my jaw muscle clicks when I open my mouth too wide, and this mic would pick it up, and I spent hours just cutting out tiny little mouth noises, and it was incredibly annoying, right?
So, yeah. So if you are in a professional studio environment that has proper soundproofing, that has a little vocal shield and everything that you're using, beautiful mic to record with condensers. Like, that's what you should be recording with.
Right.
But we as podcasters and we as non-professionals who don't work in professional studios, they... like, you are going to edit for days
to try
and do things. Exactly. And that's where the dynamic mics comes in. That's where the cardioid pattern. And again, we talk about the cardioid pattern. So if I kind of take my mic and I turn it to the side, you'll hear that with this mic, you should still be able to hear some noise. But it's not as clear and as robust as that, because it rejects a lot of noise and it rejects a lot of sound. And that's what you want from a podcaster perspective.
Right.
Where I might be sitting opposite you. So I might turn like this and sit opposite, and we might have two mics that are back to back with each other.
Yeah.
My mic is then not going to pick up as much of your noise, and your mic's not going to pick up as much as me speaking. Obviously, there's still editing that goes on.
Two condensers in the same studio is a problem.
Yes, because then you're going to start...
then you get audio bleed, and they start picking each other up, and it's hard to cut. If I'm now... if we had two condenser mics like this, and he's talking, and I, you know, make a sound, it's going to pick it up on both mics, which makes it hard to edit.
Yeah. So, word of advice, if you are going to buy a mic... buy a dynamic mic
for
podcasting.
And that is the problem, is that if you Google podcast microphone on Takealot, almost every response you get is going to be a condenser mic. Those little gold-plated, cheap, basically, I don't know, for some reason dynamic mics are more expensive than condenser mics, or somehow. Because you see so many cheap, and they call them studio mics, which is misleading, you know, because a real studio would never use those mics.
Yeah.
But it gives you the impression that studio means quality. but it's the wrong kind of mic. And many of you may already have those gold-plated cheap mics from Takealot. There are ways. It's all about treating the room in that case. You know, you can record, you can put the mic inside a clothes cupboard, you can record under a blanket, but you, that is not the ideal situation, right? So avoid condenser, go for dynamic. Unfortunately, the dynamic mics like we're using do tend to start at a higher price point at about 1,500 to 2,000 Rand.
But for a reason, because they come up with a whole bunch of extras like that cardioid pattern, the windshields or the windsocks that are on here. And they, then again, also like supply and demand also plays a factor, because obviously as the podcasting industry grew, as people started seeing people like bands and things doing videos more with these kind of mics, like the ones that I'm looking at, pushes obviously price up because people can make more money. So by default, these are going to be more expensive than your condensers.
Right.
But they do sound great as well.
Sure. So, I mean, to briefly speak about the SD-1, it is a clone of the Shure SM7B.
Yes. So the SM7B is the mic that every podcaster has seen.
All the expensive podcasts.
All the expensive podcasts have that. I mean, everybody uses the SM7B. It's a great mic. Don't get me wrong. One of the things I always tell people is that
to the voice.
Yeah. It makes you sound like a radio personality. Like it's got that radio voice sound. And it's also the mic that was used on Michael Jackson's Thriller album. Fun fact. So if Michael Jackson used the mic, then I mean,
that must be terrible. Mic. Yeah.
But the problem with that mic is that you have to have a cloud lifter, which is a little gain booster, because it needs, that mic needs a lot of power to make you sound good.
Right.
The mic I'm using, which you can say is a clone of that, but they improved some things, or Universal Audio improved something, so you don't need a cloud lifter. So we're not using a cloud lifter at the moment at all. We're going straight into our little audience interface there, and this one sounds great. But with the SM7B, you're going to have that little cloud lifter if you want to get your sound to sound nice and big and deep, and that's what you need. So again, that's again professional studio level stuff if you really want that specific sound. But if you want that look and that feel at a slightly cheaper price and not having to buy a cloud lifter, then
it's certainly
Universal's the way to go.
As you say, prestige, look, it's something that's more important for vodcasters than it is for podcasters, right? If you're not filming yourself, it really doesn't matter. This is not a pretty mic, but it works just fine. Just, I mean, another update on the Shure SM7B, I think they've just released one called the 7B, either the 2 or the A, I don't know what it is.
It's like it got a D at the end because it's got a built-in cloud lifter now.
Right.
So even they've realized that, hey, we need to sell more of these mics, but we can't ask people to buy an extra piece of equipment, so we'll just build it into the mic.
Because they must have a lot of people who buy that mic, and then they contact them and like, why am I so soft? They must have had thousands, millions of questions like that. Anyway, so there is an update to the Shure which gets around that in the same way the DCM6 has got that dynamite button, which gives it extra boost. Cool. So let's scroll back even further than that to, I don't have equipment, I don't have an interface, and I don't have money for any kind of mic, just on my phone.
So I'm going to ask Rebecca to do a favor. I'm going to ask you to stop the recording on there, because my phone is recording, and we'll switch to the phone camera.
From this distance,
yes. Cool. So because a lot of people, and before we cut the recording on these mics, a lot of people will actually do that. That's how they will start. They won't have a lav, they won't have anything. You have a cell phone. And we were at an event, Sean Lewis hosted, and they had a couple guys there who says, you can record on your phone, you can record. So it's going to sound terrible because it's far away, but you can hear the difference, what it makes in investing that little bit of extra money in buying a mic versus not having a mic. So
I'm going to continue the conversation on my phone, and then I'll give you the recording.
I mean, you can do that as well.
We'll see what that sounds like.
What we're showcasing now is, like, we've obviously don't have any mics in our hands, but we are recording from that phone camera there with audio, and John's got his phone in his hand just on the voice memo app. And you should be able to hear a clear difference between just the distance between how we are.
Certainly that phone is going to be picking up very kind of wishy-washy audio. This will be better, but this is a, you know, phones have good quality mics, but they're not dynamic cardioid pattern. They're meant to be picked up from here and all that kind of thing. So they're not the right tool. They're not the perfect tool for the job, but they can be improved, and I'll get into that in a little section by myself later. This is where most people start, right? And some people even do interviews like this. Right? And it's probably best to actually just hover it in between you if you're going to do this kind of interview. You don't have to do the news reporter back and forth thing.
And it's definitely possible. I mean, you've seen TikTok clips and stuff where people go on the beach and they do these sort of things with their phone, and that's exactly what they do. They move a phone back and forth.
Yeah.
And what we're basically saying is that it can be done.
You don't need to start a podcast in a studio with a fancy mic, with a fancy camera. You don't need all this. You can start like this. And I think what we want to try and show is that if you want to take it to the next step, that's when you start having the conversation of what mic do I buy? John will talk a little bit about space and how you do your soundproofing. We've got a couple of questions from people on what panels do I buy? Where do I put panels?
Right.
And so you can always build from the ground up. And I think what we're doing now is the ground up.
Yeah, this is pretty much the ground floor, unless you're literally recording in your kitchen, which I've seen a couple of our members have conversations with three or four people in the room, and because of the space necessarily, they do it in a dining room or a kitchen or a lounge. Traditionally, places that have a lot of tiles have no curtains, and it's very clangy and reverby, right? So, your example of TikTokers and all that kind of thing is a good one, because they tend to walk, let's say they walk up to someone and they're like, you know, what's the deal breaker on the dating scene or whatever it might be. That is a 30-second clip, probably maximum, right? But the problem when it comes to podcasting is that we're often here to go deep and go long, right? So this is going to be a 45-minute conversation on this phone. It becomes a comfort issue. Someone with headphones, someone listening to a 45-minute conversation recorded on a phone, after a while, it just becomes grating. It's not comfortable to listen to.
It's not something that's going to be nice to listen to for that long of a period.
So your content better be great if you expect people to listen to bad audio.
And for those of you who have studios, I mean, I'm going to mention some names like Gavin and those guys.
Yeah, Paolo, Gavin.
Spike.
Luke.
Just switch this part off, because this is going to sound terrible compared to
Well, I mean, that brings us to your other option, right, which is hiring a studio for a recording. There are quite a few members like Paolo and Gavin who will either give you a discounted rate or a free recording session if you go to their studio and they've got equipment, which will make you sound great. But if you are going to hire a studio over time, you will eventually end up paying the same that you would pay for an audio setup, a proper audio setup. You know, over 10 episodes, you'll make it up.
It becomes a cost way up thing. If you're going to do one episode, then reach out to some of the guys in the group and stuff, and like, they will definitely help you out. But as soon as you're going to go into that series of episodes, if you want to release weekly, then you might as well save up and buy some form of a system.
Yeah. Off the top of my head, I would say that if you're going to go for an entry-level mic like the Samson Q2U, which is a... Well, actually, that's a good point. One of the things we should focus on is USB versus XLR. So the mics that we've shown you here, besides the... Maybe we should stop using the phones now. this is going to get ugly.
Okay, we're back to decent audio now.
So, back to that warm sound.
Sorry to all the studio guys. We really apologize, but no, we don't.
So, okay, XLR. XLR mics require an interface, like the Audient you're using, the Scarlett 2i2 that I have. That's another 3,000 to 4,000 rand on top of the microphone. So that's if you're doing a monologue show or a USB mic is around the same price as an XLR mic, often a little bit more expensive. Like, for example, the Rode Procaster, there's a USB version, or the Rode Podcaster.
So what we will have is there's a version of this mic, the PD70, which is a USB mic and XLR.
Both, okay.
Yeah, awesome. So it's basically this mic, but with an interface built in. And that's essentially what your USB is. Your USB part of the mic is a little interface built in.
Right.
The challenge with that is it's a one channel.
Yeah. You can't do interviews.
You can't do multiple people unless you're going to
pass the mic back and
forth. Or buy two of them, which is going to cost you a little bit more than buying two XLR mics and an interface. And the interface part comes in when you want to have more than one person talking. If you're going to just do a solo show and it's just going to be you, then great. Get a USB mic.
And you're ready to go.
Yep.
Yeah. So... if you're doing a monologue, if you're doing audio fiction or something like that, and you don't need another person to record, then rather go for a USB mic. And I believe the Samson Q2U being the very lowest kind of, if there's a double option for these, then awesome. The Samson Q2U is a USB and it might have XLR as well. I'm not too sure, but, that's a great way to enter because it's so easy. And I think the only way... There are weird hacks to be able to record two people through USB, but I think it requires recording one person on the left channel and one person on the right channel in mono at the same time.
Yeah, that becomes the niggly bit of it, because when you plug a USB mic into your PC, it's going to see that as an audio device.
Yeah.
You can't have two audio devices running at the same time because your computer's not going to know which one to look at.
Yeah.
And that's where the challenge is. And that's where the interface, again, comes in, because the interface is seen as one audio device and all your mics go into that. And you get single channel interfaces, you get dual channel, you get four channels. You can go all the way up to, I think, 16 channels. I mean, unless you're going to do a massive show with 16 channels.
Yeah.
From a podcaster point of view, you don't need that. But there are great options that also run off USB power. So that's also another thing to consider, is that the mic, the interface we're using needs a, like, to be plugged into power at the moment because it's a higher end interface.
Mm.
But you do get, like, for example, the Audient range, again, the Evo series, which is just straight USB powered. So USB-C plug in, USB-C plug into your laptop, and Bob's your uncle. There you go.
Right.
Plug a mic in.
Yeah. And the bonus is that on Zoom calls, you're going to sound amazing. Like, it actually makes kind of a weird difference on con calls when you have a proper mic, is that you've got that warmth,
because laptop mics are worse than cell phone mics.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about briefly about that for those of you who may be recording or thinking of recording on a laptop. It's not an ideal situation. Again, it's the room that'll improve that. There's nothing you could really do. You know, laptop companies make a lot, like Mac and PC, they make a lot about, there's 14 mics in this laptop and they use surround algorithmic AI to make a great, and none of it works. It sucks.
So you've got to consider the fact that the capsule on the mic is the thing that actually captures your audio. How small is that capsule compared to what you see in our antenna? Because the mics on your laptops are like a little tiny little hole, and they're probably the capsule the size of like the ballpoint on a pen, that size versus what I've got in my hand now versus what you've got in hand is much bigger, so it captures a lot more.
Sure.
And it's a lot more clear. I mean, it's great if you're going to FaceTime someone or if you're going to just do a quick video call or meeting on Zoom. But if you're recording something to put out content, then definitely not the ideal option.
Right. So I've got then two more questions for you. Number one is, what do you think about lav mics?
Lav mics are great. I think there are great wireless options out there at the moment. Again, they come at a price. Mm. That's the only thing. So you'll find your lav
mic more than a normal mic, though. I mean, they're in the range.
But if you go for the good quality ones, then they do cost a lot more. And I think a lot of what people are using is that you get the DJI ones now, that like clip on. You get the Rode ones, but then again, you see the Rode ones come in three different variations.
Yeah. I think I got the cheap one.
So you get like the, I can't remember what it's called, but you get the normal one. Then you've
Smart
got the
Smart Lav Plus, and then there's a
Pro version as well, and that comes down to channel counts and stuff again, which is back to your audience or your interface conversation. Because I think the normal one, the cheapest Rode one, is just a single channel unit.
Yeah.
So that's one person. Then the level up from that is two people. So then you've got to have two lavs, which are wireless, plus the receiver.
Yeah.
Which is there. And then the Pro one has got a little bit more functionality and features. I think Hollyland is a really nice one, which is a little button. It's just like a little circle.
Yes, yeah. Are those available in South Africa?
Yes, I think they just came out now. So those are really nice, and lav mics are really nice, but you've got to be careful with lav mics. And this is from our experience in doing like live, like church events and stuff like that. Lav mics tend to feedback very easily.
Hmm.
That's the one thing, because again, they're right here.
Yeah.
You don't have to talk as loud, but as soon as you start talking a bit louder, they're kind of similar problems as a condenser mic, but they can be great if you want to hide something away, if you want to just, if you use it properly, they're great.
Yeah. And there is a learning curve. I mean, I've done recordings with two lav mics and there's a lot of audio bleed. If you're sitting at this distance, they'll pick each other up and it can get weird, but I have been impressed, and you will see those kind of rectangular with a little, they're called dead cats, those little windsock thingies on the end of the DJI wireless mics. You see them a lot on TikTok and all that kind of
thing. And those are there for your window. So if I go, it's just not the greatest thing up for me. You shouldn't be doing it. But that's basically what it picks up. It picks up the windows, or it cuts out that wind noise. I don't really like the look of it because it looks weird. It's got like, you've got this little clip thingy.
It's very present. It's very bulky, you know?
Yeah.
But to a degree, when it comes to, you know, when I had the conversation with Gavin about what is a podcast, his opinion is it's homemade. It's not NBC News. It's not a massive corporation, which is why you see a lot of people, Barrett does it actually, holding a lav mic in front of someone for an interview, using it like a news mic. Because to a degree, because it's unprofessional to see a lav mic on someone.
And that was that the purpose of a lav mic.
I'm making this myself.
Yeah, the purpose of a lav mic was, like, if you look at any broadcast or anything, it was to hide the mic away.
Yeah.
That was the whole aim of why they made mics so small. But I mean, now you see it, it defeats the purpose of it,
yeah,
to be honest with you.
Yeah, your perspective is always, how can you be the most professional, sound the best? Mine is very much, if it works, cool. And also, if you're not recording video, then fine. Like, it doesn't matter.
But again, it comes down to the why. Like you said, why would you purchase a lav mic if you are not recording? I'm not saying buy an expensive mic.
Yeah.
But it comes down to the purpose. So you don't need a lav mic if you're going to be sitting down at your desk. Rather get
if you're interviewing in the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, if then you, go and get a wireless.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing. If you're going to go out there and if you're going to be doing like conventions or talking to people randomly, then a lav mic is perfect because you don't want to be walking around with a bulky mic like this. So it comes down to purpose.
Yes.
What are you intending to use the mic for? How are you intending to do your show? And then base your mic purchase off of those. It doesn't need to be expensive, but it must be fit for purpose.
Right. Okay. Well, I hope that gives you some insight into the various levels of mic, what they sound like. I think you'll get that out of the recording we're making now. And then in the next section, I'm going to talk a little bit about setting up your room. And we're not going to get too deep into this because sound treating your room is a whole massive kind of conversation. And we'll probably do another specific episode about that. Can you think of anything that we've missed?
No, I think that's all. I think we've covered all the basics of this. What I would say and I would suggest is listen to this podcast with headphones on.
Yeah.
Ideally, because if you're going to listen to it on your phone, you're not going to pick up the nuances of the different mics. So listen with headphones. And then what we'll do at a later episode as well is we'll do a little section on how to actually edit podcasts and we'll
get some
people in.
Yeah, we'll show you how and there's so many different software programs and all that. Yeah. So as one little fun thing at the end here, what we should do is pass me your mic there. And so you're going to hear, it's difficult when there's two different voices, right? So hear my voice on the Shure SM58, which is about 1,750 Rand, and then on the Universal SD1, which is a much more expensive mic. You said around 9 grand?
Yep.
Okay. So here's me talking on the Universal SD1. Here's me talking on the Shure SM58. We're not treating these, so it'll be interesting to see what the difference is. You do the same.
And now you're going to talk all the people that are going to say, this is the SD1 of how I sound exactly the same on the SD1. Versus how I sound exactly the same on the SM58.
Well, you know, which is, if that's the case, also let's never forget that you can do, for example, the Shure SM7B's warmth and that sound that you get. There's a lot that can be done in post-production with EQ.
100%.
Yeah, my personal view is that when I have lots of extra money, I'll get a Shure SM7B. But for now, I'm happy to use this or even a Q2U or whatever it is, and then fix it in post a little bit, you know.
Yeah, I think it was Gavin that said, and shout out to Solid Gold Podcast, yeah, just post your first episode.
Yeah,
just post it.
Don't let it stop you. Don't let the phone stop you, whatever it might be. Just, yeah, what Paolo says is, and I think he stole it from someone else as well, is if you're not embarrassed by the first episode that you ever made, then you waited too long. Yeah. You know,
don't forget to post your podcast on the pod list. Yep. To get entered for the South African Podcast Awards.
Yeah. sapg.co.za/podlist. That's going to be the biggest repository of South African podcasts, a database, if you will, in South Africa. And from that, as you say, the South African Podcast Awards will be taken from that. And so will the South African Pod Charts once we get that going.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Cheers.